Blog Talk Radio.
All right, we on here, brothers.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the host, guest, or agent with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. I seek refuge with Allah from Satan, who reject the enemy. With the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Today is February 26th, the year 2022. I'm your host, Michael Stahir. As you have tuned in to Words Make People. I'm on the highway headed to Milwaukee, Wisconsin for our Savior's Day program. I had planned to be there already, but Allah's in charge. We accept His will. So inshallah, as we move down the highway, me and my companions, Brother Mustafa Abdullah and Brother Khalil Rashid, inshallah, we'll be there before the program begins at 2 o'clock. Inshallah. So we will continue talking with you. So don't lose faith in us. If you hear the hum of the tires on the highway, just think, the brothers are moving toward a destiny, toward a goal. And inshallah, we'll be inside the masjid in about 20 minutes. And we will enjoy this wonderful program set up by Brother Imam Ramis Muhammad, Masjid Sultan Muhammad in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, for their Savior's Day programs. So, we say happy Savior's Day. They can say I'm off on GPS signal. I don't know how I did that. But inshallah, we get it back. Can you put on your phone GPS? Huh? No, I can't do that because I'm talking to people. Okay, all right. So, we'll see what's going on here. Okay, so we're going to continue our discussion on Words Make People. We're going to follow our format. Excuse me, please. And our format on Words Make People is to always read from the Quran first. So since I am driving, so you all know, I will recite from the verse that we all know that's very common to us all. Before reading the Quran, we always seek God's protection from Satan, the rejected enemy. We say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. I seek protection with Allah, minash shaitan, away from shaitan, the rajim, the rejected and cursed enemy of mankind. And then we say, next, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, with the name Allah, not in the name, say with the name Allah, Ar-Rahman, the merciful benefactor, Ar-Rahim, the merciful redeemer. And then we read from the Quran. So we know we have the first verses that came to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. It says, Ikra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Read or proclaim with the name of your Lord who created. Read. It says read. The word ikra, from the root word qara'ah. And we know also from the root word qara'ah, we get the word Quran. So the word Quran and the first word revealed to the prophet ikra, those two words come from the same root, saying there's a reading going on. There's something to be read. So it says, Allah tells us to read and how to read. It says, read with the name of your Lord. So the believers, when we read in the Quran, we don't read in my name or your name or someone else's name. We read with the focus upon how Allah wants us to read, and that is to read with his name. Iqra bismi rabbika allazi khalaq. Allazi, he who khalaq, created. So very important directions here. And to read with the name of your Lord who created. Who created. So as Imam Muhammad taught us, this creation is the read with the name of your Lord who created. He has pointed us to us for us to study our own creation. Study our own creation. Huh? The address is, I think it's 300 Wright Street, like Wright. Yes. So we kind of navigate our way to the masjid. Yes, we do that. So back to the reading of the Quran. Iqra bismi rabbika allazi khalaq. Read and proclaim with the name of your Lord who created. So we look at our creation. Allah is telling us that in our very creation is where a reading should take place. I think it's important for us to read that. There was no book, there was no paper given to Muhammad the Prophet from the angel Jibreel if you taught him to read. But what was given to him was the idea of creation. And so Imam Muhammad was saying the creation that God wants us to read and study is our creation, of our excellent creation, and the instructions that Allah put into our excellent creation. Iqra bismi rabbika allazi khalaq. Read or proclaim with the name of your Lord who created. And say, well, how do you know it's talking about the creation of man? Some of these it's saying creation, but which creation? Well, when you read the next verse, it tells you that it is talking about man's creation. The right, it says, Iqra bismi rabbika allazi khalaq. Then it begins again, the verse 2 begins with khalaq 2. Khalaq insana, created man. So it's telling us plainly that we should read the creation, that is the creation of man. It says, khalaq insana, man Allah. So it's, Allah. And Allah is taking us back to our beginning, to our essence. So this reading that we are to read is not ink on paper. It is telling us to read our very human essence, going back to the stage of being an Allah. And Allah, now Yusuf Ali and others says, a blood clot. Imam Muhammad said, no, blood clot is not good. To the hospital with a blood clot, they're going to try and get it out of you because it's not good for life. Imam said, don't use blood clots or Allah. He said, use the phrase blood adhering, how blood cleans, how blood adheres a whole zone to blood adhering. And this is telling us about our beginning as a social creature. So this is a very important reading. And we just on verse 2 of this, right? Yes. So, but this is the beauty of the Quran. It's so rich. It's so rich. And I need time out. Thank you, Timmy. Go ahead. Thank you. See Timmy. Okay. All right. So please forgive us. We are about our task. But inshallah, we are breaking. So you have to do our for us. As I'm talking, make a dua for us to even get to safety. Okay. Now let's go back to the top. Iqra bismi rabbika allazi khalaq. We are proclaimed with the name of your Lord who created. Which creation? Created man. Khalaq insan. Man, Allah. Okay, Nabi. Okay. Then it goes on, come back. He says again to read. that's so beautiful, right? It tells you what to read, how to read, and how far to read. Then you come back again, and the third ayah just says, again, to read. And then it tells you how to read. Ikra, wa rabuka, and your Lord is Akram. Akram, right? And so that word Akram, we get a lot of good meanings. We get the word Kareem for that same word. We get Karamna, honorable, right? We get bountiful, right? Bountiful, no limits. It says, Ikra wa rabuka, your law has no limits in making you in your excellence. Ikra wa rabuka akra. And then it tells us more about reading. Alama, talk. Alama, the teacher. Allah's the teacher. Alama, insana, back to man again. Alama, insana, who taught mankind, right? Build column with the pen, with the ink pen, with the writing utensil. Oh, man, this Quran is so beautiful. It's so beautiful. He who taught by way of the pen. Now, we could have said he who taught by way of nature, he who taught by way of the angels. Oh, I could have said all that. But he gave us specific instructions. He who taught with the use of the writing utensil, the column. Right? I taught the human family little things that he didn't know. Okay, so coming up on it. There are people who email the beautiful city of Milwaukee. Yes. The man talks about what that name really means. He knows. It's an Indian name, but why did Mr. Farrar choose it? Mr. Farrar had a plan and a scheme. He is a wise man. Yes, sir. Save this day. Save your day. All right. Okay, now, back to the Surah. Surah 96, the first five verses that came to Prophet Muhammad. Now, you know there's another 14 verses that came later on. Yeah, that's a different conversation. And when my understanding, those other 14 verses came after during the time when the prophet was receiving Surah 18. And where he told the people about the boys in the cave, how many was in the cave, and the prophet only got so much revelation, right? And then he never got the answer as to how many were going to be in the cave. So he told the people, he said, come back tomorrow and I tell you. Yeah. He came back the next day, well, no revelation. He came back the second day, no revelation. And then finally, months passed by before he got the revelation. And when the revelation began, he says, never say you would do such and such tomorrow without saying inshallah. Without saying inshallah. Yes, so alhamdulillah. And then when they came, and then he got the rest of Surah 19, the other 14 verses, right? Yes, so alhamdulillah. All right, now we're now into the city of Wisconsin. Can I talk to my sister now? I don't know why. Let me see. Hold for a second. Hold on. That I'm back. Look, can you call the number and make sure that it's coming through? Because right now, you make sure that you can hear us. Okay. All right, dear people, we're making progress. We're in the city. We should be at the masjid here shortly, inshallah. Okay. So, Ikra. Yeah, we read it, yes. So these first five verses came to Prophet Muhammad, you know, during the month of Ramadan, on the odd number night in the last 10 days. That's all we know. That's all he told us that he knew as well. And so we are very grateful for this reading. The one now? Right on sevens, kid. All right. 800 feet. Yes, sir. Well, they got snow on the ground in Milwaukee. This is 42 degrees. Stop this right street here. This is right street. He says 7th Street.
I guess they call it 7.
Okay.
All right.
Yes, sir. All right. Coming on down Right Street. Are we going right on Right Street? He says 5th Avenue. Seems like on the corner. Yeah, this right here. Yeah, this is it. All right. We have arrived to our destination. We got snow on the ground. We got Indianapolis. There's no snow. Okay. So I'm going to make a mad dash inside, my brother. So I will continue to talk to you all. Can y'all get out? Okay. All right. I'm here, Master Muhammad. Sir, Muhammad Master. I'm gonna transfer over to my. Fuck, keep talking. I hope y'all can hear me. Okay. I'm gonna get rid of that. Get rid of my hat. Get myself. All right, hold on. This can be a show for the record. Okay. Yes, sir. Okay. All right, let's hold on for a minute. All right. We're going to go inside. We're going to try to have a good time, inshallah. Yeah, be sure to get the, get
the black bag and also get that laptop, that tablet. Okay, we're about to walk inside the building here. And then, inshallah, we're going to have a good time. Okay. Am I finding any good enough? All right. Okay. Alhamdulillah. Bismillah, Yahweh, Rahim. We're walking down. Who's going to land down the street there? May I walk to the universe place? Okay, going through the front door. The right door to go through. Okay, we're here trying to get in. I don't know if it's the side door or this door. Maybe it's the side door. I'm fine, I'm okay. Okay, so I'm like, how you doing? Yeah, I got my blog truck going at the same time, so we're here. Okay. Yeah, we didn't know. Sorry about the background noise. We're here. We emailed Fahad is here. And where your shoes go? Your shoes? Okay, all right. So we're here at the Master. And we're about to get started here very shortly. We have to go around and meet a few people here. Wet wall, do not touch. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to give a job to Brother Lucifer. to go around and talk to folks about Savior's Day. Okay. Okay. Assalamu alaikum. How you doing, sir? Okay. How you doing, sir? Well, what I'm going to do, let me see. Let me see. I'm going to keep everybody from not waiting too long. We're going to play an audio by Imam Muhammad. And we're going to come back to this program. Because they're still getting set up. And we go from there. Okay. So we are now inside of the historic Sultan Muhammad Masjid in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Imam Brahman Fahad is the imam. As you know, the history of the community, and this was Muhammad's Temple number 3, established by Mr. Farah Muhammad and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad after they had left from Chicago, Illinois. This became Temple number 3. And then later, and this was the city in which Mr. Farah disappeared, as they say, disappeared, and went to wherever he went. And shortly thereafter, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad left here and went to Washington, D.C., what became Temple number 4. And Imam Muhammad let us know it was no coincidence that Mr. Farah chose Milwaukee as number 3. And if we should revisit the last convention that Imam Muhammad gave in 2008 in Detroit, and he explained these different cities and what they meant and what they stood for in our development as a people. He took time to explain those things to us. So, and number 3, Imam was saying, he used the word meal, Milwaukee. We're saying, no, to walk the meal. To walk the meal, how the treadmill, but not treadmill, how the to break down the grain into flour, into flour. You will walk the meal to get that to break down the kernel into a powder or to a flour. F-L-O-U-R, flour. And in doing that, you were able to get the knowledge that was in the seed. The knowledge that was that's in the seed. So alhamdulillah. And you remember making that connection for us at their last convention we had there in Detroit. So we are now in the city. Milwaukee. So let me see what kind of get going for us while we are waiting. I don't want to just keep talking. I'm going to find an audio, inshallah, of Imam Muhammad teaching us. And we'll play that until this Saturday's program is ready to begin. Thank you all for tuning in and for supporting this day. This is a very important day for us in our community growth and development, a very important day. So we plan to make the best of it. We're going to have a wonderful discussion, I believe, myself and Imam Bashir Ali, and he's the convener, the national convener, and he lives in Peoria, Illinois. And then we're going to have also email Omar Kareem from Chicago. We're going to be discussing today's program. We're going to the panel to discuss Savior's Day and the importance of Savior's Day and what do it mean for our community life going forward. So alhamdulillah, we thank Allah for this opportunity, and we thank you for your support and for you being patient with us. So what I'm going to do now at this time here is find the audio of Imam Muhammad for Imam Muhammad that we can play. And we'll be able to enjoy this, inshallah. So it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. So I'm going to play Imam Muhammad. And then when the program is ready to start, we'll come back. So please be patient with us. Thank you. As-salamu alaykum.
The Quran was revealed, given to him, is the last of the prophets, the seal of the prophets, God's messenger, God's servant, and his messenger. He is our example for good behavior and for good character and for productive work that Allah created every human being for. Hence God says, Muhammad is a model, is an excellent model for any who believes in God and believes in being accountable to God. This is what God says to us in our holy book, the Quran. So Muhammad is not just a model for Muslims, he's a model for human beings, for all people, a model for any who believes in God and believes in being accountable to God. And Allah, God says of him again, so that we'll know he's for all people, God says, Muhammad is a mercy to all mankind. Rahmatan lil-nas wa rahmatan lil-alameen. Mercy to all the worlds. This is Muhammad. So we cannot make this religion small. It's not small. Maulana Maududi, perhaps the most popular of the recent reformers, scholars who reform, who bring Muslims back from deviations, who bring Muslims back from a dull life to have enthusiasm and drive, reformer. Maulana Maududi said on Mount Arafat some years back, I happened to be there myself, long time ago, must have been 40 years ago, and Maulana Maududi learned that the son of Elijah Muhammad was making a Hajj, and was on Mount Arafat at the time. So he told his people to go to the son of Elijah Muhammad and tell him, I invite him to come to my tent. I did. I came to his tent. Pakistanis always have big numbers in the house. I came to his tent, and when I walked up to him, he greeted me and asked me to sit near him. I sat near him. And then he began to speak to those who were in his tent. There were many. And he said, Islam is a religion or an ideology for the reformation or the reform of the whole world. And that means Islam is a universal message. It's for all people. It's for all lands, all nations, all people. And if we understand the Christianity, it is the same. It is a message to all people of the world.
Amen.
And the Jewish scripture, though it's not propagated like Christians and Muslims propagate our religion, our faith, but Judaism also is a religion, a guidance from God to all people. To all people, not just Jews, to all people. And it was Judaism that was extended to the world of the Europeans and others, to the whole world, by Jewish leaders, and as a result, there's a new mission and the New Testament. So we can't separate these groups. We speak of them as Abrahamic faiths. We all identify Adam as our first father in the human nature, and we identify Abraham, called Ibrahim in our holy book, Abraham as the second father. And these three faiths identify Father Abraham and Father Adam. Actually, if we understand it, Father Adam extends as a creation. He extends into Abraham on another plane, and a second father comes out of him. Second father comes out of Adam, out of the essence of Adam, comes a second father. And that's understandable if we understand Jesus in Christian teachings being the second Adam. We may differ somewhat with the number where it's placed, but Jesus is second in the ascension, and the ascension, or the essence of the human soul, ascending upward to gain more and all of its life that God wants for it. So it is life expanding, life rising up, as God says, and He has created us as a plant that first a little seed like a dead thing under the soil or under the earth, and it comes out and it grows upward until it reaches its fullness or its maturity or its fullness as a life, completeness as a life. And God says in the parable of human life is the parable of a plant, or that of a plant, meaning it starts from nothing. You can't hardly see it. It's embedded in the earth. Our children, they start in our mother's bodies, and the bodies of their mothers, and we don't even know they're there until she tells us. And we don't see it for 9 months, or until it reaches the stage when it wants to get out of that small confine and get into this big world of ours. Then we see it, and it kind of turns over. Just before it comes out, it's sitting up, and then it turns over, pushes its head down and comes right out. Puts his head down and comes right out. It says, unless you become as little babes. So that means we have to stop standing up so straight and so rigid. And we have to humble ourselves.
Amen.
To the fullest extent before our Maker, the Lord Creator of everything. That's what religion is all about. It is about being complete in your recognition of God. If you recognize Him, then be complete in that recognition. Don't put your small time thing before your duty to God. Yes, our religion says in the Holy Book, in our Holy Book, save yourselves and your families from fire. This fire is the fire of human passions. Script writers, called poets, they have since time began, I guess, for writers, they have always referred to human passions as fire.
Right.
And our singers in our recent time, they sang songs of that fire. And they call love a flame, a strong passion, a strong appetite. We have to save ourselves from the fires. Now, isn't it something how man can become scientific and know all about human nature? He knows the science of blood, bones, the heart, everything, the eyes, the science of sexuality, and a fine woman can make him nothing but a dog. It doesn't have to be a fine woman in everybody's eyes, just a fine woman in his eyes. Take him down to the dog. So that tells you that we need something bigger than man to save us. Especially in these times when life is all about styling. We need something bigger in our lives, bigger than styling. Many of us don't know we're styling. Now, I used to wear an FOI suit. And believe me, when I put it on, I just felt different. I felt like my manhood woke up in me or something. You know? I felt like I had authority I didn't have before. And I was styling. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says that I quote him now, my job is not so much to teach you religion, but to put you in a dress, a decent dress. See, God came to dress us up. Yes, that's what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said. And really, if you understand dress, when you are born from mama, no clothes have been put on you. The doctor got you, or the nurse took you, or you delivered, and there's the baby naked. You say the baby is naked. Why do we wear clothing? We wear clothing because we are naked in our own minds. The horse come here, dressed up for cold weather, whatever. But we don't. We don't come here dressed up. We come here naked in our minds. But now just look again. What is the clothing for? What is clothes for? Clothing is a protection. Clothing protects me from bad weather. Clothing protects me from exposure, from exposing myself to everybody. So it's a private thing. It helps me preserve my privacy, and I want to look good in my clothing. So you buy nice clothing, you should. You want to look good in your clothing. But what we have to understand is that the first clothing is the clothing of human life. Human life. Human life in its innocence and in its purity. Human life in its innocence and in its purity. No wonder the question was asked to Adam in Genesis of the Bible. Who told you you were naked? And in our Quran is reference to the same situation where God says, and it was the shaitan, the devil, the first deceiver, and the worst of all deceivers. It was that one that seduced you and your mate to come out of the original clothing that God put you in. And it says, and that was the clothing of righteousness. The clothing of righteousness. So what is that saying? Righteousness is not something a preacher has to give you, preaching the Bible. Righteousness is something that you were created with. You were created to be righteous. Righteous. Righteousness is your nature. It's an inherent quality that we are born with. The need and the drive to be correct, truthful, clean, decent, trustworthy, righteous, righteousness, sincere. Yes, that's all in the baby, in the nature of the baby, the baby's nature. When the baby is born, he's born already with all of that. There was a time in the history of criminology in the United States that I read of as a student studying for this job I got, when criminology in the United States had taken a backward move and was believing, just it didn't last long, believing that if they would sterilize, kill the nature to reproduce in the criminal, kill it by sterilizing them, that they would save society from criminals that would be born from criminals. They soon established that that was incorrect, was false. And they said that criminology cannot come from a parent to a child. So it's learned. It's not inborn. It's not born with the baby. It's learned from the world. Learned in the world. Now, many of us perhaps are not living to go to heaven. But you should be. And let me tell you something. You've already been in heaven. When you were in your mother, you were in heaven. And when you came before the world, tarnished you, or left its bad influences on you, you were in heaven. And whether you believe it or not, it took me all these years, but I'm in heaven. I was in heaven as a baby, before the world influenced my thinking and my nature, and I'm in heaven again because I found the way back to heaven. And when you hear God says, and to him you must return. He only means return to the person that he created. Return means, like you say, I wish my child would come back. You're talking about one who left the church, or one who left the mosque, the temple, or whatever. And it hurts you that they're gone and they're leaving that lifestyle that you love them in, make you feel as though you lost them. And you say, I just pray God all the time that my child will come back to me. So you mean come back to that life that made him pleasant in your eyes and made you so that you didn't have to worry so much about his well-being. Yes, you want him to return to that. So we have to get rid of a lot of mystery. Mystery wastes time. This world is too fast, going too fast, for us to be held up with mysteries. Heaven, where is heaven? We know where heaven is when we understand what the meaning of heaven is. We think of the heavens and the sky. We look up, the sky. What does that mean? Heaven is more advanced than all that I see around here. Heaven is elevated, high. Elevated high. Heaven is established high. High in the sense of meaning, substance, and also quality. Quality. So if you can accept this for me on this day in the city that I was born in, you all, some of you all want to take away my birthright. Oh, he man was from Chicago. He lives in Chicago. That's his home. I thought the place where a child was born is also his home. And he should never lose that home. Yes. Yes. So, yes, I was born in Detroit, and Detroit is my home. And my father was redeemed in Detroit. And became a new person, a new man. And did wonderful things and earned the title Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Yes. And I'm just continuing his good works. He said his main job is to put us in a dress. And he said a decent dress. Now that you have heard me comment on what is the real meaning of dress, he means put you in a decent lifestyle. Put you in an honorable, decent lifestyle. Now, some tricks of psychology begins concerning dress might begin for us with the sisters wearing the dress that I see a few wearing right now, the headpiece and the dress, white long dress covering her whole body except her face. But for the brothers, it began with shine your shoes. Do not come to the temple with shoes that are not shine. And if we smell you while we're searching you, and you know we're going to be up close to you to search you, and you know you're not going to get into the meeting without being searched, if we smell you, we might send you home and tell you to take a bath. And put a crease in those pants. Respect yourself. And respect this house that you're coming to. Wear your decent clothes. Now, we thought that was all about black nationalism, Nation of Islam style. But no, when you read the Quran, God says, and wear your beautiful apparel at every place and time of prayer or masjid. That's what he says in the Quran. So that's also the requirement in Islam before Mr. Farad and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad ask us to clean up ourselves and wear our beautiful dress when we come to prayer or when we come to the temple for service or for worship. What I'm saying to you is that we had a lot of help from Mr. Farrar and from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We had a lot of help to get where we are today. A lot of help in more ways than you know. A lot of help to your leader now, that you say is your leader, W.D. Muhammad. I call him my imam too, Imam W.D. Muhammad. We had a lot of help to get him where he is now, and to bring him along a path of progression and progress to come into the Quran, not as an import from Saudi Arabia or from Egypt or Pakistan or somewhere, but as a natural growth in the soil of the United States of America, made suitable for that growth by W.D. Farrar and Elijah Muhammad. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad put us in a new dress. There was a student at the time he was doing his dissertation for his PhD. His name is Asian Udum. He was African. Long time ago, this was before Malcolm got popular. And he asked the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he said, for my dissertation that I'm writing for a PhD, can I interview some of the ministers and some of the regular followers? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave him permission. He interviewed me, he interviewed other ministers, he interviewed Minister James Shabazz. Before he passed, we called him Sheikh James Shabazz. He interviewed him, he interviewed the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he interviewed a lot. And he came to the conclusion after he studied the following and temple of Islam or nation of Islam on the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he came to the conclusion that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's main work was the work of bringing African Americans into a new culture. A new culture. Another word for culture is dress, isn't it? Into a new culture, or into a new cultural dress. That was his conclusion. Now, let me come back to dress. I spend a lot of time on dress. Because your dress has become so inflammable. You're on fire, most of you. Most of you I see in the streets, you're just burning all the time. It's just inflamed, engulfed in flames. Because you're wearing volatile clothing. Well, anyway, when you think of dress, how dress influences personality, how it influences ego. It can make a guy that had no enthusiasm, had no strength in him to stand up straight, he goes sad and droopy, yeah, dull. You put him in a uniform, and you don't have to give him a gun or a weapon. Just put him in a uniform and put some medals up here on his chest and stuff. And that guy perk up. Oh, fellas, come on, fellas. When I was a little boy, about 8 or 9 years old, there was a corner near us, a busy corner, and there was a guy who would be out there at a certain time every day. He had his own uniform. He even took some pop bottle caps, and he stuck them on his coat so they looked like medals. And he'd be out there directing fella. Directing traffic, by me. Come on, hey, hit up! He broke. He was somebody. Now, I'm ashamed to admit this, but it happened to me. It was a long time before I went to the movies. In the Temple of Islam, you couldn't go to the movies. You could be actually put out of the Temple of Islam if they found out you had gone to the movies. So this time I went to this movie. It was John Wayne, you know. Duke. Big Duke. I saw this John Wayne movie. You know, he had a special walk, didn't he? John Wayne had a special walk. He walked like he feared nothing, and nothing should mess with him. And he held his hand kind of like he was ready to draw at any time. Even though he was walking, one hand was swinging, wasn't getting too far away from the pistol. I watched that movie for about an hour and a half, I guess, or more. I came out of there walking like Duke, walking like John Wayne. I'm moving like him. I'm in his spirit. He passed his spirit on to me. And I'm seeing myself in his clothes and his hat, all right? His boots with his gun. So there I am. I didn't take nothing about I think it was about 2 or 3 steps like that. And it registered on my mind what that movie had done to me. And I said, let me get out of top this. Dress can reach your soul inside of you and influence your soul to want to agree with the dress you're wearing. So now, can't you see the problem with the man thinking he's naked, and then letting the Satan, the Shaitan, the Satan, suggest that he clothes himself? Yes. Now, passions. Strong appetite. Love is a passion. Hate is a passion. Any appetite in extreme that affects the heart and causes the heart to register the appetite. You give your heart to it. It's a passion. Life is relationships. Relationships. The first relationship is relationship you have with the opposite sex. And then from that relationship come children. And the children then have a relationship both with parents and with each other. And we are told that we came from one parent of a male and female, or one soul of a male and female, saying that soul-wise, or as for the nature of the soul, male and female are one. Are one. They have no difference. Soul life is the same for both males and females. The woman will cry if she's hurt. Some women won't cry when they're hurt. They're tough. They may be too tough to survive. And the same for men. Some men will cry. Some men won't cry. They're too tough. And I say the same. Maybe too tough to survive. So the nature of the soul has to be in male and female.
Amen.
If you lose your human emotionality,
well,
if you lose the ability to be hurt,
yes,
in your heart,
well,
you've lost your human wholeness.
Amen. That's it.
God made us like this so we will register the hurt of each other. So we will do something about what's hurting each other.
Yes.
Also, before leaving that, I must say that the growth of human life is seen in the connections you make.
Yes.
With your intelligence, but more importantly, with your heart. You give your heart to a relative or friend. You give your heart to a stranger. The heart does not reject any human being or human life that needs it. It can be a stranger. You can't even speak that stranger's language. But you see a stranger on the road suffering. He's fallen on the road and he's suffering. He's in pain. And you speak to him and you can't understand his words. He doesn't even speak your language. You're desperate to find some help for him. Hmm? The heart is where we all should be. But we reject our own heart. A suggestion is made to the mind and we become selfish and directed selfishly. So we pass by the hurt of our family member, our hurting family member, we pass by the hurt of strangers. But God wants to awaken in us the true human spirit, the true human sensitivity. And that brings me to something else. God wants us to look at the world of nature and natural things that he created and let those things speak from their pictures to our intelligence and our hearts. Yes. Sensitivities. When you cry, hurt, water come down. Huh? A little water come down. Tears come down. Sometimes they come down not because you're hurting, but because you're so happy. You can't hold back the water of sweetness. Huh? And sweet water will come down. Water. And we are told that all life had its beginning in water. So water is the beginning of our innocence, beginning of our natural, beautiful sentiments, feelings as human beings. But now, if you go to extremes in the water and neglect to go to school and be educated, or neglect to rise in knowledge or education, you will have no way where to live except in your water.
Yes,
except in water. So you'll be like a fish.
Yes.
With his head under water. And he can't bring his head out of the water. If he does, he'll die. Because his whole life has become that life of the water. And there are many of us like that in these churches and in these mosques and whatever, these places of worship for Muslims, Christians, and others. Many of us are like fish with our heads underwater.
Yes.
We're afraid to take a chance on lifting our heads above the water.
Yes.
God didn't create us to be fish.
Yes.
All we have to do is lift our head above the water.
Yes.
And we'll find that we are not limited to water freedom. Our freedom is to come on land.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right, sir.
And get the benefits of living on land.
Right.
But we have to have the courage to trust that I won't die.
Yes.
If I lift my head above the water.
All right, sir.
Some of us are in water up to the ankles.
Well.
Some up to the knees.
Well.
Some up to the chest. Some up to the neck. Some are submerged. Now, if you're going to be submerged, don't stay there. Your mission is on the land. If you're going to be submerged, then as soon as they duck you under for baptism, you got to come back up. And you know, we take full baths too. We don't call ourselves Baptists, but we take full baths too. Praise be to Allah. Thank God, that is. Praise God. Yes. So our relationship, we have to be very regardful of relationships. Relationships are connections. Male and female connects. And when they connect, now they can produce. If they don't connect, they can't produce. You can't reproduce yourself unless you connect with your mate. The two of you all connect, now you can reproduce. That's a sign. I said, whatever the nature, we should regard these things and see them as message givers. They're breathing out messages to us. Silently, that is. Silently sending off messages to our intelligence. So if you can't reproduce your life without having a female, a mate, and this has no intent to put down homosexuals or lesbians, as far as I'm concerned, you have all the freedom you want. Just don't bother me. Yes. Now, we want to reproduce. We want to reproduce the garden. God put us in the garden of paradise.
Right.
And the picture of that garden called Eden in English, or in Christianity, or Bible language, Judaism too. In fact, Adnan is Eden for Arabs.
Right.
Same word. It's not in the Quran as such as such. But the Arabs, you study their culture, you find that they have a term called Adnan. And it's Eden, means Eden. And it's the garden of paradise. It comes from an ancestor that they have in their myth, their stories of their creation or beginning. They have this parent, and they believe that their life goes back to that parent where life was good for human beings. So they do have kind of concept for Eden, the same as the people of the book, the Bible. Yes. So anyway, the soul always wants peace.
Yes.
It can't have peace if the mind is in trouble.
Right.
It can't have peace if the body is in trouble with the environment.
Right.
Life is threatened for one reason or another or by something. It can't have peace. It can't have peace if quality of life is going down. It wants quality life. It wants excellence. The drive and the human drive and the soul is for excellence. And if you, yeah, thank you. And if you don't, if you don't do your best, you won't be happy. No. You know you have did it, you won't be happy. It doesn't have to register on your mind. Your home environment, you rushing to see somebody, or you rushing to go shop, whatever it is. But you left the toilet in the room in a mess. You left the kitchen in a mess. You left the bedroom in a mess. Only thing that was looking halfway straight was the front room, because you don't want outsiders to know what goes on in the bedroom. And in the toilet, in the bathroom, and in the kitchen, you know? Yeah. So you go to work and, or go to your see your friend or whatever, or go to shop, and you wonder how come you don't feel good. Well, any psychologist could tell you you're not feeling good because your soul won't accept what your mind imposed upon it. I don't think there's another people more unfulfilled in their souls than the African Americans of the United States of America. No matter how much encouragement we get to say, hey, we're doing fine. Colin Powell, great achievement for our common life, for our total life as a people. Great achievement for our life, Colin Powell. A man that white folks would support for the presidency of the United States, and I mean white folks in big numbers, would support, or will support, Colin Powell to be president of these United States. But then there's one that we're more closer to, Oprah. Look how successful that woman is. As a TV host, hosting her show. There's no white woman or anybody else that ever achieve what she have achieved as a TV host for her show, for any show. None of them have achieved it. She's the biggest thing in the history of such shows. Yes, she is. And she got plenty of money. Plenty of money. She gives gifts, big gifts of money to certain charities or certain causes that she feels she should support. Big money. But that is not enough. to make us feel fulfilled in our souls. No. And why do you think we can't feel that achievement, feel that we have achieved? Because people are connected that belong to the same history. We belong to the same history. No other people have our exact history. No other people experience life as slaves. Life as second-class citizens, or as put-down citizens.
Now we're about to go. We're about to begin the Savior's Day program here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So just stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. We have a panel discussion coming up with myself, Marcus Fahir, Nessa Savina, your man Bashir Ali, and your man Omar Kareem from Chicago. So we also will be on my Facebook live page as well if you want to see us. There we go. So stay tuned. Give us about another minute. Hold on.
Ready?
Okay, here we go.
For the love, man, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, we bear witness, I bear witness, that there is no God except Allah. Allah. There is no God except Allah, and that Muhammad, to whom the Quran is revealed, we say sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Muhammad is messenger. We say the prayers and the peace be upon him. Muhammad is Allah's messenger. We greet you all with the greetings of peace of assalamu alaikum. We thank you all for being here, for coming here. And for our broadcast, our streams, our Google Meet, those who are participating or those who are participating live, we want to welcome you all here. This is the day that we want to commemorate our Savior Day. And I don't want to prolong this by explaining what our Savior Day is or what it means. I'm sure one of our very distinguished guests are going to address those things. But I do want to say this. One is that our job or our goal is for us to establish our life in this religion of Islam, or Islam, what we know to be Islam, but we know it's properly called Al-Islam. And we wouldn't be here if it was not for Allah. If it was not for Allah. And Allah has sent us much help and many people throughout the hundreds of years that we have been on these shores. And so we spend time to acknowledge all of that help that God has sent us, people to help get us to where we need to be or where we should be. And we also thank Allah for bringing us through this experience. And this is really what we are focusing on, the experience that we have from Professor Faraj, Professor Faraj, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, to the leadership that we elected. And I want to be clear on that because we use different terminology when it comes to our imam. Imam Waruquddin Muhammad. We say that he assumed leadership. We say that he took leadership. We use all of these different terminologies. And I hear it, and I'm sure people don't have any ill intent. But we elected him. We wanted him. That's exactly how that happened. Okay? We wanted him. We elected him. We voted for him. And it wasn't him assuming or him taking leadership. That's the leadership that Allah seems best fit to lead us to where we need to be. Islam in the wilderness of North America. Those who sacrificed, gave time, dedication, their families, money, etc., for us to be able to live an Islamic life comfortably. The first person that I want to acknowledge, if you all may, is one of our imams that was formerly here in the city of Milwaukee, also in the city of Racine, and also in the various other places. That is Imam Shahid Abdul Ghani, he was not able to make it because of health concerns. But we do want to acknowledge not only Imam Ghani, but his wife, Sister Rachel. I wish they both were able to be here. But I have to acknowledge the work and the contributions that he gave to this community that he's still giving to this community. He started or joined into the Nation of Islam in 1963. And when I came in at the age of 12 years old on my own, and when I got around 14, he took me under his wing. Wherever he went to, he took me with him. Detroit, Chicago, Indianapolis, St. Louis, Kansas City, everywhere that he went to, I was there with him. The second person or persons that I want to acknowledge are here in this room with us. And I have to acknowledge them because the spirit is so beautiful. And that is Sister Rashida right here in the rear. And Sister Addie. Those are sisters. Let's give them a round of applause, please. These are our shining stars of this community. And like I said, I know we have a lot of pioneers in here. But these are our sisters. These are our shining stars for this community. Sister Addie, I think you said you came into the Nation of Islam in 1958 or 59? 1958 for both of you. That's probably longer experience than just about anybody in here. So we have to acknowledge both of these sisters. And not only have these sisters, now I have to add in another sister as well. And may Allah be pleased with her and grant her paradise. It's Sister Maria Rahman. So Sister Maria Rahman, she came in, I think, in 1958 as well. And may Allah be pleased with her. She's passed on a couple of years ago. But these three sisters is the foundation of Milwaukee. Masjid Sultan Muhammad or Sultan Muhammad Islamic Center, formerly known as number three. That's what we are. We're number three. Okay, but we have to acknowledge you. We thank Allah for you, and may Allah bless you all immensely. We really, really, truly appreciate and love everything that you all have done and continue to do. So with that being said, we're going to move on to our program here, or really the program started. But we want to move on to our guest here without prolonging this. We have three very distinguished imams here. We have Imam Mikhail Sahir, Imam Michael Sahir out of Indianapolis. So have Imam Dr. Bashir Ali. You have to put that doctor there, Imam Dr. Bashir Ali. And we also have Imam Omar Kareem Dr. Bashir Ali out of Peoria, Illinois, yes. And we go to our third distinguished guest, Imam Omar Kareem out of Chicago, Illinois. And these brothers have drove a long way to be with us here in the city of Milwaukee. And so we reached out to you all, and you all said yes. There was no question, and it was just when and what time. That's what it was. And so we thank Allah for you all coming, and we ask Allah to bless you all. So with that being said, we're going to go through the format here for our Savior Day commemoration. And we want to get 15, 20-minute presentations. I'm not going to time you all, but, 15, 20 minutes of information that we can give on the topic. And then we can go into question and answer period around the topic that we have of what we have for today. All right? With that being said, we're going to introduce the closest one to us. Brother Imam Michael Tahir out of Indianapolis. Let's give him a round of applause, please.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم I seek refuge protection of the Lord من الشيطان الرجيم from Satan the rejected enemy It's indeed an honor a pleasure to be here at number three in Milwaukee, in the presence of super pioneers. You know, some of us have been around long enough to call us pioneers. I mean, I'm looking at 50 years almost being here, but we are here super pioneers. And we know we owe you our debt. It's not falling off of our conscience. We owe you our debt for making a way where there was no way. All we got to do is come out and walk the path. You all in. You know, pull some weeds here and there. We keep it clean, clear. But we thank Allah for you all. And I pray that you all have been interviewed and videoed 1,000 times. If not, you got to get it. Because each time a senior passes, like a whole library in front. Each time a senior passes away, it's like a whole library in front. Can't get it back. Can't get it back. This topic is a good topic. The future of our indie Islamic thought and community life. So I try to stay within the 15 members. You made a mistake. He's going to feel real guilty by the time we get there. He's going to be like, oh, it's time for mother prayer. Alhamdulillah. But that phrase, Islamic thought, even Muhammad didn't give us a school of Islamic thought. Thought is past tense. He gave us a school of thinking. That's present tense. And going forward. You know, thought being, I thought I was going to be late. I thought you'd miss. That's past tense. A school is a place or a location. A school of thought or a school of thinking. So a school is a place, a location where the thinking is constantly occurring. So our school is in our intellect. Not a building, not a location on earth. It's on our intellect, right? School of thinking. You're thinking right now in your school, right? Class is in session? All right. But we are thinking while we're sitting on the throne. The throne. And you've now told us the throne represents authority, leadership. So our intellect is sitting squarely perfectly on a special throne. And what is that special throne? That special throne is a purified heart. A purified heart. So we constantly say, abandon that is it, collude or not, right? Our Lord, let not my heart deviate. The thing is, your intellect is sitting on a pure heart, and the heart remains pure, then your thoughts are going to remain pure. But if your heart goes astray, all your thoughts are going to go astray. Not some of them, all of them are going to go astray. So our prayer is, the banner, our Lord, let is it. Don't set a deviation of our heart. It don't say my heart, it says our heart. The community life, right? Don't let our heart go astray because my intellect got to sit on top. It's a little sad, no, but we said we can draw for in prayer, talk to them. That's it. The ladies of the community. You're sitting on the throne with your heart that be pure. And my Savior said, right? You say the heart, everything else will be all right. Where's the super line? What he says? It's a muscle of the flesh. If it is whole, the whole community is whole. How whereby it's not thought or thinking, it's only secure if our heart, meaning our intention, are pure, sincere, honest, and loving of Allah and His messenger and all good people. Savior's Day. We're talking about Savior Day. When we must first save our hearts from racism, sexism, greed, envy, jealousy, hatred. And once the heart is saved from those evils, then it will properly serve as the throne for our thinking to sit upon and lead the community. In order for our thinking to be independent, it says the future of our independent Islamic thought. So this independence, in order for our thinking to be independent, our heart must be independent of associating any part with Allah. Right? No shirk. La ilaha illallah. So, don't we know that having a fear of another man or another people is shirk, false worship? And you have wrongfully given a partner to Allah to have that fear? In order for our thinking to be independent, our hearts must be independent of associating any partner with Allah. The fear of the white man, believing he is superior to us, that's false worship. The fear of the Jew is to think somebody special than somebody else, false worship. The fear of the Indian Muslim, that they must teach us Islam, that's false worship. If you believe that somebody other than what God has made you, and if God can't help you there, well, I got to make them tell you, that's false worship. Allah says we all are children of Adam. And He made all of us karamna, right? Honorable. All of us. So we would never have independent Islamic thinking as long as we engage other people as if they are a Goliath over us. We got to be like David, Daoud. He was the beloved of Allah because he was innocent of racism, sexism, greed, envy, and jealousy, and hatred. So he qualified to lead the one smooth stone. And what was that one smooth stone? La ilaha illallah. The Bible said he had five smooth stones. We got five children. All he needed was one. La ilaha illallah. That's our Savior. The Quran is our Savior. If you took that one stone, La ilaha illallah, and hit Goliath right in his intimate mental head, dropped him. So in my humble opinion, we can't give attention to the future of our Islamic thought or thinking until we secure the present. And that presence must be rooted in Al-Quran and the excellent life model of Prophet Muhammad, not rooted or supplanted in the thinking of immigrants or somebody else or some other foreign influence. You got to have that spirit of Bilal. Bilal asked Abu Bakr, did you free me? Because she had another plan for me? Yeah. This is our Savior Day. Don't think it was a lightweight thing. You may have chose to marry as our model. So Imam Muhammad told us, he said, go to the immigrants, learn the Arabic language, learn the history. He said, but I will teach you the religion. Save your day. Save your day. Your duty, your day is your whole life. As an individual, and also for us as a community, our day is a whole lifespan, not 24 hours on the clock. So, alhamdulillah. You thank Allah for Mr. Farah. And as they said, too, but your Master Habib, very good point. Your man wasn't, he didn't assume, he didn't take over. And truth be told, he wasn't elected. He was selected by Mr. Biden himself. Did you put Salah Muhammad's name on your door? Behind the door? Did you put a little four-star man behind that door? Yeah? He put Dr. Jim Muhammad's name behind that door. But he was already selected. And everything, every lesson, all the teachings of the Nation of Islam was to produce an intellect we call Dr. Jim Muhammad. All of it. You write that letter to Mr. Provide, all that was to get you ready for the intellect was to be Muhammad. So we said Allah, we say the banner last picture, we did not the idea today cannot. It's our Savior's day. From my perspective, I know we got my boy coming. Thank you. As-salamu alaykum.
Praise be to Allah. I wish, well, I guess I can use that language, that terminology. But people who are not here, they're missing a treat. They really are. This is some really, really good information. Now, we're going to bring up our next imam, but let me explain this just for clarity. For when I address that, we are number three. This is number three. Our history. Going from Professor Farad, Mr. Farad, and for some people, Master Farad. Yeah, for some people, he's still their master. But Imam said he's not my master. So, but Professor Farad, from that experience, Professor Farad, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, to Imam Waruthuddin Muhammad. When we start our history started or our Islamic experience started in Detroit, Michigan. And in Detroit, Michigan, Mr. Farad, he taught Sister Clara Muhammad and many of the other people that was there who was willing to hear what he had to say, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And temples were established, and the first one was in Detroit. So that's number one. Temple number one, that's Detroit, okay? And then the Honorable Elijah Muhammad moved to the city of Chicago, what they call Windy City. And Professor Farad was with them. And they established temple number two in Chicago. And then Professor Farad and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad came here to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and established temple number three. And so when they established temple number three, which is here in Milwaukee, our Islamic center, our masjid here in Milwaukee is called Masjid Sultan Muhammad or Sultan Muhammad Islamic Center, because that was our first minister right here, Minister Sultan Muhammad. And so these believers that are here, that are still remaining with us, praise be to Allah, they came in here under that experience, under number three, and many of them remain here. So we thank Allah for them. So I just want to make sure that we were clear on why this is number three. When you're studying Islamic history, if you go to a college, university, or what have you, and you're studying Islam in America, you have to recognize that Islam starts in America through this experience. Yes, we do know that there are other Muslims that were in other states like Iowa and other places, Michigan, etc. But they came here not looking to establish an Islamic life. That task was given to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and that started in Detroit, Chicago, Milwaukee. And I have to include number four in there, too. That's Washington, D.C. I wish our Imam Talib Sharif was here but I know that's too far for him to drive. But our minister, Minister Sultan Muhammad, then was sent by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, if I'm not mistaken, to Washington, D.C. And so our minister, Sultan Muhammad, ended up being their minister in Washington, D.C. So that I wanted to explain that. So with that being said, let's go to our next distinguished guest, our next imam from Peoria, Illinois. Awesome brother, awesome brother. We're going to let Imam Omar, we're going to take age. We're going to take age. My apologies. We were talking about that. All right, we're gonna go with Brother Imam Omar Kareem out of Chicago, Illinois. A very, very hardworking and knowledgeable imam. A beautiful spirit, always friendly. I love this brother, just like I love my other brothers over here as well. So let's give a round of applause, if we may, for Imam Omar Kareem.
Believers, alhamdulillah, wa nahmanu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Wa man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. That is, we say that the praise belongs to Almighty God Allah, and we praise Him. We ask for His assistance, we seek His forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah from the evils of our own selves and from the evils of our deeds and our actions. Whom Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him or her astray. Whom Allah leads astray, you have no help. Ash'hadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. Wa ash'hadu anna Muhammadan abduhu rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. And we also witness that there is no God but Allah, that He is one and alone. He has no partners in the share of the creation of the heavens and the earth. And we also witness that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is the prayers of peace be upon him, is his last messenger to humanity. And we ask that Allah upon his companions, his family, and all those who preach and aware of their Lord with beautiful preaching. And what follows thereafter. Again, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. First, I want to thank Imam Fahad for the invitation and the community here at Masjid Sultan Muhammad for the invitation, and to especially be here with such imams that I have such respect for and have earned and gained friendship over the years since I have been imam. And before I became imam, because they became was friends with Imam Sultan first, you know. Yeah, Sultan, Imam Sultan introduced me to Imam Sahir, took us down to Detroit, and that's the first time I met to him. And I gave a talk. He said, he never forgot what I said about growing up in the Nation of Islam. You know, and Imam Bashir, excuse me, I just lost off for a minute. Yeah, so again, I'm appreciative. Thank you so much. But just real quick, let's see, I got, you said 15 minutes, so, yeah, okay, so it's 2:11. All right, let me see if I can say what I have to say within a few minutes that would be helpful. First of all, I would like to share that I am a product of the Nation of Islam. I was born in the Nation of Islam in Atlanta. A lot of you pioneers remember Sister Beatrice, Sister B. She's been around the community for a long time. She was at the hospital with my mother when I was born. That's how, what kind of support we had. I attended the University of Islam School in Atlanta before my parents transferred from Atlanta to Chicago. And in Chicago, I attended the University of Islam School here in Chicago. And, you know, one thing about it is that being raised up in that environment is the sense of what you got from that experience and what we got from being introduced to that environment was a sense of self
would cow down, you would stand up. You know, a lot of brothers would quit their jobs and say, I ain't going to work for the white man, I'm going to work for myself. You know, and tell the white man, to heck with this here, I don't need this, you know. But, you know, we have to really be thankful for the history that we have. And just going back into the history just a little bit, talking about Farad Muhammad. You know, when Farad Muhammad came on the scene in 1930, I really don't, and this is just me, and my reasoning. I don't think that in the history that we have, that when he introduced us to a certain form of Islam, I don't think that's the form he came with at first. And I'm just saying, because he was a wise man, I'm thinking as long as he was here in America, he probably tried to come with the true Islam first. But it wasn't catching on, you know? And this is just me, my thinking, ain't no proof of this here, but it's just my reason, you know? And just looking at his wisdom and his understanding and different things like that. And because Islam was not attracting black where he was at, that he modified. You know, he came into our community in Detroit as a salesman, you know? He was coming to the neighborhood, going door to door, and you know, selling silks. You know, but he had a little catch to it. You know, he would try to tell the thing. He said, "Yeah, you know, this silk here comes from Africa. You know, and you know where Africa is? It comes from from the lost tribe. You know, the lost tribe of Shabazz. You know, and you know that gave a black folks a sense of what." You know, but this was come from the elsewhere. Yeah, if it came from there, we had a little connection, you know, whatnot, you know. But what Farad was trying to do was trying to give us a sense of self-worth in a time during the 1930s, because that was right after the Depression, all right, and we was coming out of it. So, you know, white folks always was going to have first ops, you know, at anything that's going on, and we was at the bottom of the thing. So you know what kind of situation we were in, you know, but that hard times and going through slavery taught our mothers and taught our families how to survive. So we learned. Our parents and whatnot learned how to survive. You know, when I grew up in a family of 9 siblings, 5 sisters and 3 brothers. And when we were young, we didn't know we were poor, you know. I mean, we had pots of soup with a lot of water, but we didn't know we were poor. We were happy, you know. So that just goes to show you the strength that we have learned how to survive in difficult situations and whatnot. You know, so in the 1930s, that was difficult situations for us. We learned how to survive, you know. But Farad, he taught a form of black exceptionalism and self-pride to, you know, blacks and African Americans, and he advocated to his members also, you know, to try to do something for yourself. Try to do something for yourself. Try to establish a business that we need to have something for ourselves. And another thing too is that when he came to us, he didn't come to us with the Quran. He came to us teaching the Bible. A lot of people don't know, you know. He came to us teaching the Bible at first because that was our connection. We were connected to the Bible. So in teaching us the Bible, he got our attention, you know. So over time, he began to slowly start to see what the real problem was that was affecting us. And what was affecting us was the psychology or the psychological thing that was in the atmosphere, that they were calling us that we was worthless, you know what I'm saying? Actually, they were saying that we were devils, you know what I'm saying? Everything that they were saying we were devils. So he was smart and wise enough to take in what we call flip the script, as they say. And flipping the script, he started using the same tactics on them that they was using on us. And at the same time, separating us from that community. Now, I grew up in a Nation of Islam, and I grew up in really an isolated community. We weren't allowed to hang out and play with the kids, other kids on the block. You know, we didn't have that. You know, and when I was coming up, now I know some people here that did have that, but my parents was like, for real, I was locked in. You know, and in doing so, it gave me a sense of leadership because I was a junior proof. And being a junior proof, we went out and we sold papers. You know, we had what we call a junior proof class, which was every Saturday. All right. And junior proof class, we would start off the morning with working out. We'd start off with martial arts. Then we'd start off with drilling. And then we'd go out and sell papers. And then we'd come back. That was my life. All the way from a young man till I was old enough to start to rebel, okay? And my rebellion didn't come until Imam Warfi Muhammad came. Imam Muhammad came into, and I know I'm kind of skipping here a little bit, but I know I only have 15 minutes. I can't cover everything. But I did tell Imam Fahad I want to cover some history of my history being in the Nation of Islam. Professor Farad, now we know the right title for him, established in the Nation of Islam. He established this through the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, which we should always have much respect for Farad Muhammad, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and Imam Warfi Muhammad. And it's this month, you know, it's Black History Month. So when you walk into the Bahar Center, you see a big tribute to Imam Muhammad that we're honoring for Black History Month. Because they always do Malcolm X, and they always do Muhammad Ali, and they just like leapfrog over Imam Muhammad, who was their mentor. He was both of their mentors, you know. But back to my Imam Muhammad, my youth growing up in the Nation of Islam. Growing up in the Nation of Islam, when Imam Muhammad was elected into office or selected or prepared, I was 15 years old. And that's about the age that young people start feeling themselves, you know? And I never forget. When Imam, we couldn't go to the movies. There was no movies, you know, no going to the shows. Brothers, young brothers about my age, they used to sneak to the show. And it was so funny because they tried to get me to do it. I was too scared to go into the show because I think I was going to get busted, you know. They stand outside the show with newspapers, you know, like in an I Spy movie or something, you know. They got newspapers up. And they stand outside the show, nobody looking, they go into the movie. I'm like, no, I ain't going to the movie. You're going to get busted, you know. So when Imam Muhammad came in 1975, and he said, we can go to the movie. And I think we didn't have to wear uniform. and we could do all these things. A lot of us took that freedom literally to the point that we could do a lot of stuff, and that's what a lot of young people did during the time of Emmanuel Death, because we didn't know really and understand really what was going on, but we were 15 years old. You know, only thing we know is that, only thing I knew is that my life was all tied up in the Nation of Islam. Now I got freedom. And I took that freedom, and like a football player with a football, I ran for the goalposts. All right? I ran for the goalposts and went out into the world and found out that I was really, really, the first thing I did with my parents is that I pleaded with them. I begged with them. I got on my mother's nerves so bad that I wanted to go to the public school system. And she let me go to the public school system in the last 2 years of my schooling. And that's only because I found out later they couldn't afford the tuition because Imam Muhammad had the school wasn't making money, teachers need to be paid, and they raised the tuition and whatnot, and they couldn't afford it. But, man, I did not know. I thought I went to the public school system taking my Islamic upbringing experience only to find out that I was in hell, okay? That people were taking my kindness for weakness and different things like that. I'm saying brother and stuff like this. These brothers were not brothers, you know, the way we was being treated, you know. So I realized it was like a culture shock. It was like, you know, when you getting ready to go to Hajj and you don't prepare yourself and you get to Hajj and you find out like, hey, this is rough, man, you know. That's how it was for me going into the public school system. The biggest mistake that I have ever made in my life, and even my younger sister, she really never recovered from that shock of that experience coming out of the Nation of Islam and going to the public school system and whatnot, you know. But that was to say that what we had and what we were given was far superior. Far superior. We were being taught algebra and grammar school, whereas I'm in 10th grade, and these people, they teaching them Arabic and algebra, and I'm like, I knew the answers, but I didn't want to be the one act like I'm the smartest person in the class and whatnot, you know. So I just played dumb a little bit, you know. But what we had in the Nation of Islam, and what we heard, we had science when it was Dr. Thomas, Brother Thomas was our science teacher at the University of Islam. And what we had in science, we had an actual science lab, and we learned different things and whatnot. You know, we did the science and the periodical charts and the elements and different things like that, and two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen, what that means as far as, you know, developing the water and how that relates to God. This is the thing about it, two parts oxygen, one part hydrogen, you can't separate. This is something that Allah has made that can't be separated but Him. Water is still bonded to this day. You know what I'm saying? We learned this thing, you know, and coming up in the Nation of Islam. You know, so what Savior's Day means for us, it don't mean we're going back, but we can't forget. This is our roots, okay? We are here, and what he did, the chance that he took, that Farad took in establishing what he established and the womb that we were put in helped us to get and evolve to where we are right now. Here it is. We bought Imam Daniel Kareem was my first Arabic. Well, his actually his sister used to be Sister Rosman. Sister Sahira was our first Arabic teacher. Another one of my teachers right here in the room. I can't remember your name. And Sister Amatullah. the Talmud Torah. That's right. And that's what we learned. That's what we, that was my first Arabic teacher. That was the Imam Daniel Kareem, the first person that taught us how to call the Adhan and how do we do the prayer. And I was in the minister's class in the junior fruit minister's class at the age of 14 and whatnot. You know, so we were being prepared for leadership. You know what I'm saying? We were being prepared to be rulers and whatnot, to be established in that. And I'm going to tell you, when you step outside of the womb of the Nation of Islam and you step into the world, I'm going to tell you something. You think you're strong until you be tested. And the only thing that I knew we were strong because we were tested all the time because we was out there selling papers, right? But if you just had the knowledge and all that good teaching, but you ain't never been tested, that's when you run into Shaitan and you see how strong you are. You know, that's when you run into Shaitan and you see how strong you are. You know, because some people get hit by Shaitan and they find out they can't handle it. You know, they didn't run another way. But the Nation of Islam helped establish the moral foundation for us to come into the rational knowledge and rational understanding. It prepared us for Imam Waqi Muhammad. I never believed that Farah Muhammad was God as a young man. I never believed that. I never saw him because everybody that was around me as a young man always guided me towards Allah. I remember when my dad was working at Captain Raymond Sharif's house. He set me down. My name was Thomas at the time. And he said, Brother Thomas, he set me down on the couch. And, you know, I probably was about 11 years old, somewhere around there at the time. He said, Brother Thomas, he said, never let go of Allah, you know. I never forgot that. I don't know why I never forgot that. You know, maybe because I had such respect for Captain Raymond Sharif. He was honorable. He was honorable. He was kind. You know, he earned your respect, you know, and whatnot, you know. And I remember when Muhammad Ali moved to Chicago and my dad and some other Muslims had the contract and working at his house and whatnot, you know. And Muhammad Ali, it was on 47 of Woodline. He had a big old house over there. And he would come up, and I remember the first day walking into him, he said, what's your name? I said, Thomas. He said, you're going to be my security guy. You're going to watch out for my house. He pulled out $100 to get $100. He gave me $100 bill like my parents would like give me a dollar and stuff, you know. And I'm like, man, how much is he gonna give me $100 every day? So my dad had me to come there to learn how to do the work, but Muhammad Ali had me there for something else. So I'm going. He even had an elevator in his house. He got an elevator in the house, and I'm going through the house. He had a big old safe down the basement. Safe was open. With stacks of money to the buzzer like he was in a bank or something, you know? And I never forget, for the first couple of days, he would just give me $100, you know, every day and whatnot, you know? And Muhammad Ali told me, he said, always keep Allah first. He said, always keep Allah first. So I never had, like some people, some members who converted to Islam, pioneers, they converted to Islam, they wasn't raised in Islam, they accepted the whole glass of water that was had a little color in it, a Farah being the God, you know. I was able to, when Imam Muhammad came into leadership, he answered all the questions. He made it very clear for me. A lot of people couldn't handle it. But they handled it later on. They was able to accept it. But for me, it was clear that Professor Farah, for what he taught us, I knew all the lessons. You can tell me anything from lessons P1, actual facts, general orders. I still know them up to the day. To walk my post in a perfect manner, keeping always on the alert. When Imam Muhammad would be though I was in the audience, I was still on post. I was making sure that I was looking around and make sure that no harm was going to come to our leader. You know, that was the mind. That's how we are. That's how we should be. I don't walk down the street like everybody else walks down the street and not being aware. I'm walking down the street. I'm always aware for some reason. I'm looking at buildings, anybody in the window, anybody on the roof. I don't just look like that. But I'm aware as I'm walking down the street. I'm aware of what's behind me. I'm aware of your surroundings. We have to live as if we're consciously aware. You know what I'm saying? You don't just drive your car and go 3 miles and don't notice a car following you for about 3 or 4 blocks. You know, rather than do it trying to hook you up or hip you up, you got to be aware all the time. So, dear believers, I think I went past my time. If I'm not mistaken. Yeah, 2:34. I'm doing a lot. Excuse me, but, you know, I had a good presentation. I wanted to go through the history, but I figured that was going to be too much, and I think your man Bashir has a lot for that, you know. So I'm going to stop it right here, and I'm going to end it. And thank you very much. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. Beautiful, 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 beautiful. You know, I'm a history person. That's what I am by profession, but that's my profession because that's what I love. And so when I get an opportunity to hear these stories that Imam Omar Kareem gave, I'm in awe. I'm sitting here and I'm listening in awe. I would always do the same thing when I accepted this religion at the age of 12 and I got with some of the pioneers. When I sit and I speak with some of the believers that are here, I'm listening, I'm in awe. So that was beautiful. Thank you so much, Brother Mal. So I'm listening, and at the same time, I'm saying lectures in my head. I don't know if you all have done that before, but I'm not going to give that right now because it's not my time. But I do want to mention this, and this is very, very key, that as a community, we have to always hold on to Allah. That was the key point that I got from what is being said here, to always hold on to Allah. Whatever we do, we always hold on to Allah. And this is the same advice that I give my son as he's growing and maturing in his life. Always keep your faith in Allah. Always hold on to Allah, and you'll always be in a good situation. So let's go on to our next distinguished guest here, our next imam. Again, from Peoria, Illinois, Imam Dr. Bashir Ali. I don't want to confuse you with Imam Dr. Nasser Ahmed. That's my other brother. That's my other brother from Miami, Florida. We pray to Allah that he's doing well, inshallah. We'll have to give him a call. But let's introduce our next imam, Dr. Bashir Ali. Dear believers, let's give them a round of applause, please.
Inshallah. As-salamu alaykum. Dear beloved believers, alhamdulillah. We thank Allah for the opportunity to come before you. Honorable people here at the Master, Sultan Muhammad in Milwaukee. Believers, my fellow Imam, it's an honor. Imam Fahad for inviting us. It's an honor and a blessing to be with all of you. I'll pray Allah will stay within our 15 minutes. I thoroughly enjoyed my brother. I really did. And Allah is the best of plans. Allah is the best of plans because he laid a foundation, or Imam laid a foundation for what we're going to say in talking about our future. And talking about, I thoroughly enjoyed this presentation. Praise be to Allah. And I have the point I wanted to make, and I just did a talk last week about an hour. I did like a 5-hour talk in an hour. That was a lot of pressure. So I have an hour talk in 20 minutes today. We are so blessed. In preparing my talk today, I reflected on Imam's thinking because that's part of the topic, but also on his
logic with the Quran. And these are the ayahs that came out of that thinking, right? So, but five things. How Allah has progressed us and moved us from state to state. And I'm a poor Imam Muhammad. I do it rarely, but I do it in certain situations. We have an Islamic Leadership Training and Development Program, which we actually have brought together some of the top young minds in this country, in our community, and I'm honored to be one of the teachers. And one of the topics we teach is a new creation, or Protein Jiggy. Imam Muhammad, I try to, in our lessons, I try to quote him selectively on various topics because he's so insightful. He's a genius. He's one of my geniuses. So today I'm going to give you five Quranic concepts in sequence and try to give them to you from the thinking of Imam Muhammad. And surely he has created you from Asani Tawin, the most excellent formation. That's powerful. And it's Tawin, the root word is Tawin, right? Meaning to aspire. So it's really with the most excellent aspiration. Meaning this nature is one of an aspiration, of evolving, of changing, of moving from stage, elevating your consciousness. That's what it means. And in context, I'm leading you to a conclusion. Because in conjunction with this, our origin is another idea. Fitra Talahi. Alati Fitrana Sabagana Saleha. Created you on Allah's natural pattern upon which he created man on. Originate, the Fakara means origination of creation, right? Halakha is to take creation and evolve it. Fakara is to take it from nothing into something. So this word fitr, Imam Muhammad talks a lot about fitr. Why? We're going to see this in a minute, but we'll give you an exact quote from this. That the Asari Tawin is on a platform of fitra, meaning this pattern that lies put in creation. Actually, I'm writing a book on it. The five universal principles associated with that. They can have no pattern. So I'll allow you to get the book. So Allah is giving us a nature that's on a pattern. And it's pattern that comes out of Allah's creation. Now he says, he created the heavens and earth with hot. What did I just say? In truth. He created the heavens and the earth in truth. And now he's giving you a nature that comes out of that pattern in truth. Now remember that because when we get to the last concept, we're going to connect. Then Allah says, the last revelation to the prophet says, this day I have perfected your being for you, completed my favor upon you, and chosen highly glad as your being. So now Allah has given you what? An excellent nature, right? This Asani Tawin, based upon Allah's fitra, this natural pattern. The pattern is created in hot, right? So this is a pattern Allah has given you based upon truth. And excellence. And now he's giving you a deen that reflects that. Perfected for you your deen, completed my favor upon your children, I'll explain me this. Then he says, Wakakum minkum umatum, right? And let that be from you now collectively a community life. That's 3:1:1. 3:1:10, he says, let there be from you a kumtum higher umatum kupridatni next, right? You are the best community. In 3:104, he says, let there be from you a community. You are only blessed by you. Invited to what? Yamaruna bil Marufi. Commanding what? The Maruf.
And Maruf is what? It means Maruf means to recognize. Right? Why is it Mount Everest? Because Ibrahim named it that so he could recognize when he came back to Hagar. Or the landmark we knew from the sort of word Erephi means to recognize verily. Maruf is the derivative of that. Different from Alam. Alam is to know already in you. The only way you can recognize that means I have to be there in the first place. So Maruf is the excellence that comes out of your innate excellence and honesty. So Yamaruna bin Maruf. The command is excellence and Allah has already placed in you. But to command it, to take charge of it, to develop it, to evolve it, to move from day to day. Yanahuna and the Munkan. To prevent those harmful influences. And Munkar is what? From North Nakara, which means you don't want nobody to know about it. Like the brothers, the Bazoo said, they don't want nobody to see it, but they tell them. Munkar means that which works against your nature. That it takes you off course, and it takes you off course, and Allah has already put in you the best of you. Ula'ikahum muflihum. And those, that's the double though, they. Ula'ikahum, they. Those they will be the successful, right? And the word muflihu from the word what? Falaha, which means what? To cultivate, to bring out the intrinsic, the word falaha is to cultivate, to bring out the intrinsic value, something that's unseen that you bring out to the to be seen. The maruf, right? Maruf is to be seen at the highest level, but aside from you, you have to recognize the person that others see it. You have to recognize it first. After you develop it, cultivate it with the falha, with the hard work, now others can see your excellence. So Allah says, that's the direction he wants you. When you talk about community, you talk about community, right? That's the fire of me. So this concept of community now is a big idea. Meaning there's some work involved in it. There's some vision involved in it. There's some aspiration involved in it. There's some human excellence involved in it. Then, so now, gives you a static top wing, gives you a perfected being, gives you a vision for community, then it says, from that vision, if you master it, you are the best community. So here's the vision, that's the vision. If you accomplish it, you will be the best community brought out for mankind. Then Allah gives us additional assistance. Now he's going to give you uswa sometimes, as an excellent example as a prophet. So now you have a human model so that you can have no excuse. Oh, man, this excellent stuff. Oh. He said, no, it's not hard. I'm going to give you an example of how you as a human being can achieve excellence in your own social transformation. Because Prophet Muhammad did what? Transform his society in his lifetime, in education, in economics, in culture, in government, that community life. And then the last thing Allah tells us, and this is a powerful ayah, and for my, come up to my two of my sisters, and for the tarp asked me, so what ayah is that for new creation? 14:19. Actually, it's about six times in the Quran, but we'll quote this one. It says, have you not seen that Allah created the heavens and earth? In truth. If he so wills, he can do away with you and produce a new creation. Now, I read the Quran, and this one's going to be there. I'm going to give you the exact quote on new people and new creation. But I want you to see his genius. In touching and connecting with the Quran. The word for new creation in Quran is Khalqin Jadid. Khalqin Jadid. Khalqin for the word halaqa, right? Creation. But word halaqa has two dimensions to it. A physical and an abstract. Khuluq in the need to lose moral, spiritual consciousness. Have you not seen that he created the heavens and the earth in truth? If he so wills, he can do away with you. He's not going to take you physically out of earth. He's going to take your mind, your wicked thinking, your immoral consciousness, and do away with it and bring about a new consciousness. Now I'm going to read you the thinking of Imam Muhammad. He says, because actually what has been created, some of us actually represent a new creation or a new social creation, and I would think that is the strong majority that we have of free thinkers. That was from 2008, where he was at. Boom. Here's from 2004. God is forming a new people upon our original nature or upon our fitra. He is raising us upon our fitra, and we are receiving communication from the Quran and Muhammad's life is right. 2004. So now he's saying that this new people, this new creation is coming up in what? This from your fitra. That's powerful. When I in studying Imam Muhammad's language over the years, I was touched by how many times he talked about this concept of fitra. That's what I was talking about in my book and did 10 years of research. He was able to touch and hone in on his powerful ideas. He says, on your fitra, on the Quran, and on Muhammad's life as well. This new people, new creation. Why? Because you're reconnecting with the excellence of yourself and Allah taking you out of it. Let me read you one more quote from Imam Muhammad on the same concept. I don't know if you all can register the weight and significance of what I'm telling you, but to me it's an actual fact that I am a new creation on this planet Earth. And all those who identify with this thinking that was started by Mr. Farrar, this is the connection, the same thing, right, are a new people on this planet, on this planet Earth. In actual fact, yes. And I represent these people, and I've been formed by these people, and by those people, and with these people. So my nativity is your nativity. Your nativity is my nativity. We're going to offer a model for the society for humanity. We are a community and a society in the community, in the international community of Islam, in the United States of America. God has given birth to a new people, a new society in the United States and on this planet Earth. We're not just an organism. We are a developing organism. And there's a process, there's a design, a scheme, and an activity that's following a plan, yes. February 26th, what day was that? What day was that? Thank you. 2000. You are new people, a new creation. And if you follow the plan that Allah has placed in you, starting with the beginning of creation, resulting in you, you're going to offer a model for society, for humanity, for this planet Earth. You know, let me close out with this. I'm going to read you one more last quote because it has a lot of meaning to me. I work with Imam very closely in the night. He had me hit up the Illinois Shura, and he kind of mentored me on the concept of Shura and what he wanted, his vision for Shura. And I remember during that time, it was a sister, Ishmael. She called me up. She said, "Imam Muhammad is about to make a talk, and he wants you to ask him a question for his talk." Whew, that's a lot of weight. He's calling me, asking me for a question for his talk. Okay, I started second because I'm in the chakra.
have a vision for our future? He answered that question in thought. And let me read you that. This is why it's so powerful, because this is the question I asked. Before he gave talk, he gave some thought to it and gave the talk and answered my question in the talk. Yes, my vision for the future is a model community that will answer Allah's call in the Quran, where he says, let there arise out of you a group of people, a community that comes inviting to all that's good, avoiding what destroys the good life, called munkar, and believing in Allah. God wants a model community as a witness among the communities on the earth that God sent Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him. We will be the measuring stick or the measuring rod for other people, for other societies. That's what I want. That's the vision, to have that community in America. That's your mission statement. Peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. All right, praise be to Allah. Let me adjust this microphone. So I hope you all had a chance to take in what our imam gave, Imam Dr. Bashir Ali. That is our job, our mission. Now let me say this before I get to our question and answer, and then acknowledging a couple of people that we have to acknowledge in here. The job is not over. We're a very small community here in the city of Milwaukee, and I'm sure we struggle with that in other places as well in terms of numbers. But that's okay. That's okay. It's not all about the numbers. That used to bother me when I was first elected. You all elected me as your imam here. It used to bother me, but it doesn't really bother me anymore. Because in my mind now, I have to consider, what if 500 people came in here? What you know, anything could happen. The dynamics changed then. What do we have to offer them? What are we going to do? Not saying that that's a bad thing, but it could be a bad thing. That could be Allah's protection. That could be God's protection. It's not always necessarily good to have large numbers. What's more important is to have the quality. We want our Islamic life. We want our Muslim life. We want our human life to be of quality. It's not just enough to say that we're Muslims or that we are people of faith, because everyone can say that they are a Muslim or a Christian or a Jew or what have you. Are you a good person? Are you speaking decently to people? Are you treating people properly? Or are you slandering people's character? Are you being a backbiter, as we call it? We know what that can bring. Are you a hypocrite? We don't want to be a hypocrite. But the job is not over. We still have a lot of work to do. Now, specifically here in the city of Milwaukee, the city is very highly segregated, one of the most segregated cities in the United States of America, and it's reflected in the Muslim community here in the city of Milwaukee as well. Very, very, very sad. You look at it. So we have a lot of work to do, a lot of work internally, networking, establishing relationships, bonds, etc. A lot of work to do, healing. We got a lot of past things that we have to heal. I keep saying this over and over again, and perhaps I'm going into personal things, and I don't want to go into that too much, because I know we're being broadcasted, but we need therapy. We really do. We need therapy. We need healing. And it sounds humorous, but that's a true statement. Individuals need therapy, but groups, we need healing. We need therapy. And this is the same thing that I've discussed with many of the other imams of masjids here in the city of Milwaukee. We got Masjid al-Mubarak, the ISM on South 13th. We have Brookfield out here. We have Masjid al-Quran and Masjid al-Hudah. They have another school in South Milwaukee, et cetera. But it's the same all over. We're all struggling with that same thing, and that is trauma, hurt, and healing that we need to go through. So with that being said, let me go into acknowledging. And I didn't forget these people, but I have to acknowledge it now, because I want to make sure that we know this here. We have to acknowledge also our dear sister principal, Sister Basima Abdullah, in the rear. Yes, sister, I know you know it was coming. Yes. Back here, let's give her a round of applause. Look, she's been here for a long time, and she has worked with our Clara Muhammad School, and we have a very good school. We have a very good Clara Muhammad School. We have Clara Muhammad Schools throughout the United States of America. But this school, K-4 through 12th grade, yes, we are in need of teachers. So if you're a person who is an educator and you're a person who's looking to be a part of a great school, we need educators. We also need administrators. And I'm just saying that because Sister Basima keeps saying that she keeps saying that she's getting ready to retire. That's what she keeps saying. So I have to put it out there, Nick. We're going to hold on to that ankle as long as we can. But she keeps saying that. But I have to put it out there, Nick. But she has done an awesome and an excellent job with maintaining and running and managing our Clara Muhammad School here through political ups and downs, social ups and downs, et cetera. The next person that I want to acknowledge also in here is Sister Amatala Omrani. She's in this kitchen, and she's still on her post as well. Step on out here if you don't mind, dear sister. Yes, she's right. Sister Amatala, give her a round of applause, please. Now, if I'm not mistaken, because she's one of our pioneers as well, she was the principal of our Clara Muhammad School in 1982 to 1986. And in the old experience, what we call the old Lost Foundation of Islam, were you a sister captain by any chance? Okay. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So we have to recognize our pioneer, Sister Amatala Omrani. Dear believers, again, please give her a round of applause. And I know she should be out here with us, but I know she's back in the kitchen doing things back there as well. Yes, ma'am.
The most important thing I think was the
personal. That's beautiful. What? Alhamdulillah. All praises be to God. Yes. Wow. Beautiful history. Beautiful history. First female minister of the whole community. Right. That's big. That's big. I'm not sure if you all knew that. I didn't know that. That's big. First female minister. Wow. Beautiful, beautiful. Please give her a round of applause. Bless you. Thank you so much. And you still here working. I'm building on. Still here working. I gotta make one more. And I gotta make one more. My dear sister and my friend over here, Sister Miss Taylor, Miss Lena Taylor. She's here. Our state senator. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Sister Lena Taylor, are you running for the position of judge? Municipal court judge, branch 2. So thank you so much for coming. Those of you, now our elections are April 4th. That's when our elections are. So for those of you who are here in the city of Milwaukee, make sure you get on out and support and vote. You know, not in support of the vote. So I wanted to make those acknowledgments. Okay. Now, with that being said, we want to open up for our dear imams here for questions or and get some answers from them if we can. So let me start officially and just open up to see if there are any questions from anyone that is in the audience. If not, I'm going to ask my questions. But let's see if we got any questions from anyone in the audience. Yes, sir. If you don't mind, I just want to repeat the question, just for the benefit of those who, I think the question was, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that thing about when he was going to produce or publish his textbook, the book that Imam Bashir is working on. Okay. On Fitra. Okay. I'm going to move this microphone over here. Okay, next question. I just wanted to get this microphone where we can extend this to our guests here. The next question. Yes, sir. Wa alaikum as-salam.
You mentioned that we're a small community in the city, but the model is that they go off when they build a big city, right? So we are a beautiful model for humanity under the leadership of Imam Dr. Dean Muhammad. So could you expound more on all of us being saved, that the Quran tells us to save ourselves and our family, and this is what we're trying to do now. Yes, sir. First thing I say is, please God vote for that sister. I worry about y'all in Wisconsin. I really do. I'm from Illinois. We brought Obama. Always back to Lincoln, okay? I worry about Wisconsin sometimes. So, ups and downs, thank you much. Please vote for that sister. Get your family and friends to vote for her, too. Thank you. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, we need all the help we can get to stay on the right path, and sometimes you got somebody that talks real crazy. Yeah, you really do. I mean, and there's some real nuts out there in public office, so you got to correct that situation. Yeah, he defeated an African American brother here. You know what in the world is going on in Wisconsin? That's what I'm saying. I know exactly what happened because the brother was ahead, and then they played the race card, right? So I'm sorry. Go ahead. So the question, I had to make that comment. So, oh my God, please, Wisconsin, do you know? Yes, sir. We have to save ourselves, right? That's one way. So you know, Allah tells us, you know, that's the responsibility we have, right? That He gave you everything you need to be successful in your human nature, the excellence. Then He says, connect with others. Waltekum minkum. Umatum. What's that mean in Arabic? It means from waltekum. Whom is what? Plural you. The diversity of you. Umatum. The singular you. So let it be from the diversity of your interests, your talents, your skills, your abilities, one agenda, one purpose. No matter where you are, you can connect with your soul, with your mind, with your talents, and to a higher purpose. That's our challenge. So I won't hog the microphone with y'all. You can have the knowledge of being as well. As-salamu alaykum. What comes to mind is realizing that we have to follow the model that we have been given in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have to be saviors, as Imam Bashir mentioned earlier, not just for ourselves,
but for our families. And we have to realize that we cannot save our families with the way that the world offers solutions to save. Political politics cannot save you. They want to pass laws to put our young men in jail for the crimes that they commit, but these crimes are moral issues. They're moral issues that has to be addressed on behavior, you know, what's right and what's wrong and whatnot, you know. So only thing that the legislation could do is put a Band-Aid on it to satisfy the public, because the public is crying for somebody else to think. So we have to be the saviors, and it starts with the family. It starts with the family, you know. We cannot continue to have a society that's loose with relationships, that's birthing young babies, but not taking the responsibility to raise them, not take the responsibility to teach them, to educate them, you know, and realize that these children are a sacred trust to us, that God gives us. God gives us so many examples in the Quran. The wife of Imran, you know, gives us the perfect example when she dedicated what is in her womb to God, you know. So if we want to be saviors, we have to realize that it starts with us, it starts with our families, and then it spreads on. So if you got one good house on the block that honor integrity, moral values, uprightness, God consciousness, if you have two houses on the block, if you have three houses on the block, if you got 28 houses on the block, then you got good neighborhoods. Then if it goes to two blocks, three blocks, four blocks, 20 blocks, a ward, then you got a really good neighborhood. You got a model that people want to move in and say, I want to live there because of the model that community stands for. You know? So alhamdulillah.
You can help me out. I think the verse says, "Kul anfusukum amlikum," right? And the word "kul," just the word "kul," it goes back to the word "taqwa," the taqwa of God consciousness. So, just say yourself. It kind of reminds me when they say you're on an airplane. They say, "And the mask drop down." You put the mask on yourself first. And then put it on the person next to you. And so the Quran is very simple. It says, save yourself. But the cool thing, the talk with the God consciousness, if you don't have the God consciousness, it's done for you, it's done for you, it's done for your family. And this family is not just the address you live in where you park your car and pay the gas for it. Don't ever think of that being your family. It's your community. Really the family of mankind. So we have to be about that definitely.
Praise be to Allah. Let's get to another question here. Sister Amazon? Yeah, so the statement is in regards to how we address Savior Day. And before, we will say Savior's Day, S-A-V-I-O-R-S. What our imam mentioned to us in regards to dropping off the S. So I'm not going to give explanation on that. Now, before I pass this microphone over, I just want to acknowledge as well that we do have a lot of other places and messages and centers and places that are celebrating Savior's Day. We had in Chicago yesterday, they had their Savior's Day under the Nation of Islam. They had their Savior's Day in Chicago yesterday. I believe it will still continue on today. Yesterday. Yeah. Okay. I had invited our dear brother and friend, student minister William Muhammad, contacted him, but he mentioned that they were going to Chicago yesterday. So I don't know. It may be today and yesterday. I'm not sure. conference. Yes, yes. So let me pass this microphone over and see if we can get some explanation on that statement that Sister Amatola Umranigay.
We are a community evolving. I think someone made the comment, we are organic, and another phrase to that, too. Likewise, with the name Savior's Day, we come back to the beginning and follow the evolution of saviors. For Mr. Farrar, being from India, he has the spelling of the British. He had a U in there. That's the difference in British spelling and English spelling. A man brought us from that, and he took us from Savior's Day. And for a few years, you may recall, we had Survival. Remember that? Survival Day. And then he was evolving us. He constantly in evolution to this great day. Mr. Farrakhan, he was Saviors, he still got the U. And he had the apostrophe S. He moved the apostrophe from before the S to after the S. Because if it's before the S, it goes to one person, Mr. Farrar. He met Muhammad done assembly, but dropped the U. Put the apostrophe after the S, now we all the Saviors. The evolution continues beyond that. And now he dropped the S. Right? And then it says, save your day. And he begins to emphasize a point at anybody, save your day. In other words, you cannot depend upon Mr. Farrar. You can't depend upon somebody else. On judgment day, we're going to be by ourselves for our Lord, right? So we have to become accountable. So you can see the evolution of our community's life. And the changing and the alteration of those various spellings. So now we have today, if following Imam Muhammad's logic, we have no S to save your day, but there's a obligation upon all.
As they say, that's enough. Hopefully that answered the question. Okay. So we know that this is in the Quran, in our holy book, our scripture book. This is in there that was referenced multiple times. God, and we referenced that at the Jumu'ah lecture here, the prayer lecture here on Friday. God says in the Quran, O you who have faith, save yourselves and your family folk, from a fire whose fuel are the people or men and al-hijara, stones. Over it are angels strong and stern. That is there. That's in the Quran. So the idea for us, now I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe that this influenced the language, do for self. Because we don't have anybody else. There's no cavalry coming around the corner like they have in old cowboy movies. There's nobody coming to help us. But us. There's nobody else coming to help us. Others came here. But they came to take advantage of us, or what we call immigrants. And I mean people who are not necessarily Muslims or what have you, but just people who are migrating here to the United States of America, escaping what we call push factors from their country, terrible economic circumstances, crime, etc. They were coming here to establish their life. They weren't concerned about us. So when they came here, they didn't come to live in the inner cities with us. Now, many people, they came and moved here, and they established their religious facilities out in the suburban areas. They didn't come in here inside of the city of Milwaukee. So we still here by ourselves. It's 2023. We still here by ourselves. We still have the discussion. No one comes here to work with us. Some people may send some money, but no one comes to work. I mean collaborative work. I don't mean just a phone call, a text message. No one was there to help us with what we need to do here in terms of establishing our Islamic life. So here we have to do it for ourselves. Save your day. Save yourself. That's the bottom line. Save yourself. Now, we can't save our, you didn't ask me this question, so I'm, but I got to get this. I'm an email. You know how it is when we get a microphone. So I'm going to be short with this, like an imam's kryptonite, this microphone here. But I had to say this here. When we got this religion and we came to, we responded to the call of Islam, now we have this ideal of do for self, and now we have established our religious life, and we, at this particular point, don't have the luxury of not trying to be a consorted group, a consorted or a cohesive body, if you will. We don't have the luxury of doing that. We have to have some type of collaborative work or do some work together. And so that's our intent, but that has to be the intent of the body of the group of believers here in the city of Milwaukee, Chicago, Indianapolis, Peoria, Washington, D.C., et cetera. So that's the call that's out to us right now. We need to make sure that we can do some collaborative work together, because after all, that's what we were taught to do for self. So let me get to the next question here. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, Brother Fahad mentioned a very strong point, is that everyone knows where, when they come to America, they know where to come to get rich. It's almost like the word is out. You know, if you come, and not just that, we accept it. Now, you can't go in the white community and do this, do that. But you can be, you can come from any country outside of our country, Lithuanian or whatever, and come to the black community, set up shop, get rich, don't give no charity, and then keep going. You know, the biggest thing that has hurt us is when we stop doing for ourselves and we start buying into integration. When we started buying into integration, that began to destroy our community. When Count Basie, back in the day, 47th Street used to be one of the biggest spots in Chicago. 47th Street, 63rd Street, businesses, black businesses, and everything. But when they started, wanted to go play for the white folks downtown at the hotels, and they still couldn't enter through the front door. They had to go through the back door to make that money, and they left their own community. We started going down, little bit by book. Do you know they used to be nail shops, hair salons, you know what I'm saying, all over the place. Now you can't even find them. Now who doing your nails and stuff like that? They don't speak your language, and then they talking about you while they doing it in their language. You know? So we got to get back. We have to get back to promoting, and not just doing for self individually, because that's our problem. As a community, we are good at becoming successful individually, but we're not working together like the Hispanics. Like the other community, they establishing their working together. You know, we got LeBron James, we got Michael Jordan, we got Oprah Winfrey, we got all the top five top billionaires now and whatnot, separate. But what if they came together? What if they came together and decided that we are going to do something for ourselves, that we're going to build a MIT school for our children. We're going to set a new way of thinking for our children. And one more thing, we'll close with this here. We have a shared history. Black folks, we all are descendants of slaves in America. So the church and the masses have to stop being separated. We have to stop being at war at each other. We have to stop acting like we not friends. We friends, but we ain't friends. Because I believe this, you believe that. Even though each one of our ancestors came back through the same thing. So now we here in the future, we have to come together, because if the church could have done it by themselves, we would be all right. If we could have done it by ourselves, we would have been all right. So Allah is telling us, and I say Allah because Allah transfers to relates to meaning God. God is letting us know we have to work together. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Praise be to Allah. Okay, so just summarize. I should have gave you this microphone since the sale. But if, now correct me if I'm wrong. How do we, encourage people to support those of us who is out doing the work, or how do we get or encourage people to go out and do more work to get more representation for ourselves? Now, that may be wrong, but correct me. Let me get some more. You know what? Here, microphone up here.
Yes, you lied. So, where do you want me? Right here? This good. Okay. Perfect. Okay. So my question is, like, when I hear you say that we should basically put unity back in the community, that we should do for ourselves. And so as a leader in our community, only of 20 years as an elected official, 30 years as a lawyer, my question is, what do you say to someone like me who is sick and tired of being sick and tired of us, right? Because I'm tired of being the one that's got to say something. I'm tired of being the one that's looked at as the problem because I said something. I'm tired of being in the room and the ones that everybody else seem to love and think is great. By the way, even from out of town, don't say nothing when they in the room. I'm tired of, how do you close 175 polling locations and nobody say nothing when the people that got hurt is us? And they close early voting for a whole week and never open back up. So like, okay, I'll let that go. That's sad. But I'm saying, what do we say to not just me, right, but to people who see that and get discouraged from even wanting to lead in our community? That's what I'm saying. And with all due respect, what do you say to the people? They ain't a sellout. They just being rented to keep. What do you say to them? Help us both.
I can speak to that. Okay.
No, ma'am. Peace again. Can you tell me your name again? I'm not from here. Lena? Lena Taylor.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I need you to know
And the senators left the state to deny quorum to our governor more than a decade ago. Reverend Al Sharpton named me Lena Harriet Tubman Taylor. Okay, so, and I've been taught a little bit of Esther, too.
It's good to have a testimony, right, beforehand. But Harriet Tubman's father, y'all know the history, right? She said, it was not that I could not have freed more. I just couldn't convince them they were slaves. So our frustration, your frustration is our frustration. And I'm talking about African-American Muslims who came through this pathway. We like, what is wrong with our people? We had this conversation before, didn't we? You know, you say, why is it that people can't see? Because if they see their first domino fall, they say, oh, no, the second domino, or third domino, so they just deny the first domino. They will break their neck, put you down. If we've been put down as Muslims. It's no coincidence. They're like, those people, because they are afraid. They say, oh, man, but they saved me a lot of sense. But, and the butt goes with drinking and partying and fornicating. But if, you know, they told us a long time ago, they said we can change, we can convert all of our people, we just allow a little alcohol and porn. You see? But now on a bigger picture, that same picture, it applies to your question, is that and our people, African Americans, there's a portion, let me say a portion, of us that are cursed. Cursed, yes. And it's not by God, it's by our inactivity. Really wake up to being responsible for ourselves. You can't depend upon somebody else. And that slave ghost is real. And we don't wake them off the plantation mentally, spiritually, financially, because that means we got to go to work for ourselves. We got to get busy, and we are afraid, and we have been lied to so long that we don't really believe. We say we believe, but don't believe that God is on our side. We don't believe, because if we did, we would step out on faith. And also, I'm going to put a note, side note, April 4th is the day when Dr. King was successful. So they definitely should have been voting for you on that day.
Bless your heart. I could give a whole other 20-minute talk just on what you just said. And just ironically, we had that same talk coming up from Peoria identically. Because we have people, well, my brother Antoine, my assistant, the two assistants, but Antoine, very active in the community and sits on a number of community boards. And at least, in fact, I served 30 years in government at the executive level. I have relatives that can meet the mayor. Antoine's relative is a state rep. His cousin's state rep. So we have very close ties to elected officials and to community leadership. As a matter of fact, it's about all the community leaders. I can call them up on a first name basis to talk to them. But let me say this. What you're talking about is something so profound. And I want to try to, in as brief as I can, say something. I gave a talk last week to an immigrant group on the history of Islam in America. But I purposely took them back 5,000 years to Egypt. A 3,000-year civilization by us. People that look like us out of Africa. Then I took them to another 800 years of the Moors and Hollandos. Another 800 years of human excellence that laid the foundation for the Renaissance. The mothers and fathers of the natural sciences, of algebra, of medicine, came out of that civilization. Then I took them to another 800 years of the empires of West Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai. And I, during that time, I tried to be as brief as I could, but it identified those giants and geniuses that came out of that mind. So that when we see our 400-year slavery experience, we see it from a different context. Then we come to America. And one of the most evil systems against human beings, crimes against humanity. Isabel Wilkerson calls it the castle, in which people had a dilemma. But this is government. It didn't start with government, or government was really kind of crystallized the issue. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with inalienable rights, of them life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's the aspiration. That's the aspiration. We hold these truths, right, by their Creator, bringing God into it. They established their aspiration. Then when they had a chance to establish their government, it was a different story. Now we want to enshrine slavery. So they have a dilemma that all men are created equal, but yet we're enshrining human beings as subhuman, three-fifths of a human being. Not only just for African slaves, indigenous people were savages. Women were not a non-reality, okay? So now you have this dilemma in which you have these beautiful aspirations, but you have to create this artificial model to justify your original aspiration. So they created a caste system, which was ingenious and insidious, that was enforced by terrorism, enforced by all those, by torture, by rape, by taking people's name, language, and culture, their human identity. That stuff lingers on. That stuff has resonates through time. So yeah, in your soul, you represent the aspiration of our ancestors for freedom, justice, and equality. You represent the personification of Harriet Tubman. You do. So in some of our souls, it resonates so strongly. We have to fight. We have to fight against the majority of apathy, of people just disconnected, and through this insidious system that has crushed their humanity, they don't even see themselves as human sometimes. They don't see their human worth. And so they can't speak up. Or if they do, they don't know the language, right? So God blesses a handful of people with the knowledge, with the language, with the heart, the soul, and the spirit to do what you're doing. To keep doing what you're doing. But you represent that spirit and that soul that God wants to place in a handful of people that has to be carried on. Please keep on doing what you're doing.
Yes, ma'am. I would say be patient. You got to have patience. You got to realize that this is not something that's just going to change next week. And you've been struggling, like you say, for 18 years. And we've been struggling with as community leaders for Lord knows how many years. You know, what has happened to us, to our ancestors, after only being, what is it, three generations from slavery and whatnot, to go through the mental, physical, spiritual torture that has happened, and then just open the gates and say you're free without any help, what's the professional person called? Therapy, without any kind of therapy for what you went through, anything like that. But to go, we already had a job, so, you know, working was no problem. You know, the biggest problem is that we think because we make money now, we're successful. But our thinking is still messed up. You know, our thinking is still messed up. And it hasn't been corrected. We still doing the same thing in modern times that we were doing when we was enslaved. We still, thank you for saying it a better way. We still doing it, you know? So the only thing that can save us is our relationship with God. And when you look at our community right now, since we've been chasing that dollar, that has become our new God. And we have left off what really was having us to be successful. You know, the Black Wall Street. Black Wall Street wasn't just in Tulsa at one time. Black Wall Street was a common thing throughout America because we couldn't deal with anybody else in business. We had to do one another in business. So we learned that dollar circulated around the community hundreds of times before it went out of the community, right? So we have to get back to realizing that we have to come back to circulating that. But it's going to take a couple of more generations. I think it's going to probably be about 200 or 300 more years, you know, before we see it. But we're coming around, you know. On our journey, coming up to where we are right now, we came from what our slave masters gave us. They gave us a form of religion. We couldn't teach it the way we wanted to teach it. We had to teach it the way they wanted us to teach it. And we carried that all the way up until we decided to come into what we call a fork in the road. That's when Savior arrived. All right? And some of us stayed going this way, and then some of us decided to become Muslims, going this way here. All right? And in that fork in the road, we started seeing one group was progressing this way, another group was holding on to what we got that was given to us. It's going to take time, sister, and we got to be patient. And I'm going to just say this, close out with this here. Our ancestors, the first people that was enslaved, probably thought it was never going to end because they died a slave. They would have probably never known that we'd be sitting here today. But we have to be able to also be able to see into the future. We have to see into the future to realize that there are a lot of us that's fighting and struggling for change and whatnot, and we have to see them in the future. Like Imam said, he asked Imam the question about the future, you know, and we have to see ourselves where we're going to be at in the future. It's going to be better, but right now we're catching hell. Okay, dear believers and guests, thank you all so much. Listen, we are being beckoned to get to all of this food over here. We have a table full of drinks and food over here, but we do want to thank you all so much for being here. You don't have to leave. We're not leaving. We want to make sure that we can enjoy the company of each other and have some food. And we thank our Imam so much for traveling and coming here to share with us your experience, your knowledge, your expertise, et cetera. Okay, so you want me to mention that? Okay, so if you all have Facebook, you all have camera here. If you all have Facebook, go on to Imam Michael Sahir's Facebook page. This event, he has it saved on his page. And if you want to go back and look at it, you most certainly can. And then we also have Google Meet over here as well. Now, for those of you who don't have Facebook, then we'll have to figure out another way for you to get it. But while you're here, please enjoy the company of these brothers. And I'm going to close off because we got to get over here to this table. Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum. Assalam.
Assalamu alaikum. Please, people, before you leave, look at my handout and my pictures. We want to build a model community here in Milwaukee. I want a golden ghetto in Milwaukee. I want people trying to get to live with me in Milwaukee. Please, look at the pictures.
think about it. Please, let's get the convention center built in Milwaukee or somewhere else. But thank you all for coming. As-salamu alaykum.
And dear people and believers and guests, yes, ma'am, Sister Addie, we have the respect. Yes, ma'am. Praise be to Allah. That's beautiful. Okay, dear believers and friends, let's close out. If you all may, we can close out with prayer. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, ar-Rahmanirrahim, maliki yawmiddin. Iyaka na'madu wa iyaka nasta'in, ihdina siratal mustaqim, siratal ladhina an'amta alayhim, ghayril maghdubi alayhim waladdallin. Ameen. With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Praise be to Allah. You do we worship and your aid do we seek. Guide us on the straight path, the path of those who has not earned your who has earned your favor, not of those who have incurred your wrath, nor of those who have gone astray. Ameen. With that, we close out. We hope everyone enjoyed themselves. Please, let's come over and get some food. Enjoy yourselves, dear believers. Yeah.